Okay, the May 1st, 2013 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments will come to order. Roll call, please.
Miller.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
Steelmeyer. Scarlett.
Here.
Steele.
Here. Okay, you've been provided with a tentative copy for tonight's agenda, copy for tonight's meeting. Are there any changes or additions? All in favor of approval of agenda for tonight's meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. You've also been provided with minutes, online these days is the way we end up doing that, of the April 3rd, 2013, meeting minutes. Do you have any corrections or revisions to those minutes?
I just have one note, on the item for the sheriff's department, for the shooting range, in that motion, I believe the condition we wanted to apply was any certified law officer. I think it just says any certified individual, or it doesn't attach a subject to that adjective. And then, or sheriff's department personnel comparably trained, I think it just says personnel comparably trained.
Condition G, I think is what you're talking about, and it states two or more people, at least one of which is a certified peace officer, will be present at any time the firing range is used. Do you need it? Is that okay?
Well, yes, the certified peace officer is okay, but what they were requesting was an amendment that would allow any department staff who is comparably trained to be one of those two people too. Correct? What do the minutes read?
Two or more people, at least one of which is a certified peace officer, will be present at any time the firing range is used. I thought I took that verbatim from the audio, but we can double check.
That was the subject of the requested amendment, was that it wouldn't only have to be a certified peace officer. It could also be a staff member comparably trained. The draft minutes I had had that sentiment in it. The wording was just a little jumbled, and I just wanted to clarify.
That's probably wise.
Okay.
Because I don't have my notes here this evening.
Okay.
Aaron, I appreciate you jogging our memory. We'll go back to our notes. So we will table the approval of the minutes from the April 3rd, 2013, meeting at this point in time. I think everyone who's here this evening is familiar with the procedures, at least if I recognize the faces as we go down through that. So I don't think that we'll repeat that. Is everybody signed in though this evening? Okay. With that, do we have any members of the public that just want to have a general comment other than the cases that were here this evening? Okay. Hearing that, any old business from the board? Moving on to new business then, the first item that we have is a biennial review of CUP 01-09, the Isaac Walton League. Charlie?
As you had mentioned, this is just the biennial review of the Ames chapter of the Isaac Walton League conditional use permit. Let me kind of go over the history of it real quick. So the conditional use permit that was issued in 2002 was actually issued on the for the use of a lodge and fraternal organization. As you can see on the slide here above, after that third bullet point, it shows the actual structures that were included in that conditional use permit. The actual shooting range itself was not included in that conditional use permit. The shooting range was established in 1952. Zoning in Story County was established in 1958. So obviously when the shooting range was established, there was no zoning code that fell under jurisdiction. And as such, the 1952 version of that shooting range was considered a legally established nonconforming use. Legally established nonconforming uses are not allowed to expand unless they are brought into conformance. And we have not received any indication through any of the drive-throughs we've done, review of old aerial photo or anything like that, that any portion of the actual ranges themselves have been modified, increased, or anything like that. What did happen in 2002 was there was a mobile home on the property that was established in that 1952 time range. They wanted to take that old mobile home off and put a new mobile home on, which led them to have to bring portions of that range into compliance. They did so on those structures under the heading of the Lodge and Paternal Organization. With that, the actual conditional use permit itself was approved with five conditions, one of which was for staff to conduct a biennial review, which is every 2 years. And at that point, we'd bring that review to the Board of Adjustment. We did note here again in this slide that we have, since that 2002 approval date, there was a biennial review conducted in 2004. There was attempts to do one in 2006. You'll see that in the findings of fact. However, we never received permission to get on the property at that point. We finally did in 2007, I think towards the end of the year, and because of that, we waited to do the next one until 2010. That was the last one you reviewed, and in today's review, we actually are probably about a couple months behind on getting this done, but we are bringing it forward, and we did conduct that review. Staff did conduct that review on April 17th of this year. Two main things we did note on that banner review was there was a new driveway entrance being put into the facility. We did note the specifications of that, and I've got a few pictures over here. And also, last couple banner reviews, there was notes of two accessory buildings that were placed in the front portion of the mobile home that's on the property, and we did note that any indication that we got from the last one, that those two accessory buildings have been removed. So with that, I'll just kind of go over. This is a current aerial photo, I should say current 2012 aerial photo, so last fall taken of the property. You can kind of see this is Stagecoach Road right here. This is looking off to the east, and just you can kind of see the various features to the Isaac Walton League. This here, I'm just going to go through these next few slides. I got some slides of some of the buildings that are included as part of the Lodge and Paternal Organization. So you can kind of see some of the condition they're in. This is in the kind of park slash campground area. This is one of their main buildings there. This is the mobile home that we spoke of, the one that really did trigger that conditional use permit to begin with. This one here kind of shows that, again, those accessory buildings that were noted in that last couple reviews, you can see that those have pretty much now disappeared. This shows the driveway entrance off Stagecoach Road. This kind of shows down a little bit where that new entrance, it looks like they are constructing it. And this one looking down from about that mobile home, you can see Stagecoach Road just down here in this area. So looking at that, the current conditions of approval that are in place on the property, you'll see those six, the first few of which kind of reflected some things that needed to be done before that mobile home was officially placed on the property. The fifth one, the BNR review that we're doing right now, that sixth one was added after the 2008 review, and that more or less dealt with getting modification to the original conditional use permit to bring those accessory structures that were in there into conformance. And again, as we did note in this last review, it does appear that those accessory buildings have been removed, so that sixth condition probably is no longer valid or necessary. So with that, the memo that we did provide to the board did have these following alternatives, and they're listed on the screen here above. Hopefully I've summed this one up for the most part, but looking at the two conditions, really we're going to, staff is recommending that last condition, number six, does need to be removed again because those accessory buildings are gone, and with every review that we do, the second condition also does remove the actual BNL review itself. That's ultimately up to the board, but we just wanted to pose that question as normal. Is do you think it is still necessary to conduct these BNL reviews on the property? So with that, I'll turn it over to the board and ask if there's any questions.
We've been through this a couple different times. It appears that these owners have taken care of the property, most of the concerns that we have voiced before and put into those conditions. And given the fact that we don't have an enforcement position at this point in time, it seems like an unnecessary staff to require an ongoing biennial review, given that most of the items have been taken care of. So, I mean, I tend to believe that item number two, that we accept the report and to determine the condition numbers five and six are no longer necessary, from my perspective, would seem to be prudent.
I've been through this a couple times already also, and I have a tendency to agree with that.
Not having a biennial review doesn't mean that if you somehow become aware of a violation of the CUP that you couldn't act on it.
Yeah, exactly. No, not at all. Yeah.
Is the county engineer's office, have they approved that new entrance?
You know, and I haven't talked to them about that. I did drop our county engineer, Darren Moon, an email about it, and never did hear back from him. But I think that's pretty common knowledge that they'd have to do that. Now, I don't know if they're aware. If for whatever reason they wouldn't do it, the engineer's office would take their proper enforcement procedures and make sure that that was a permitted driveway. So.
There's nothing unusual about the location of the second driveway.
Yeah, and I, you know, when I had sought out the permission to go onto the property and do the review, they did mention something about that, and it seemed the reasons they wanted to do it were just mainly grade concerns from getting in there. If it was a little bit wet or something like that, it was a really steep grade that some of their members were having a problem getting up, so it just seems like it's a better alternative for everybody that that driveway was moved, so.
I'd move that we accept alternative two.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to accept the biennial report for CUP 09-01 with the determination that conditions number five and six are no longer necessary. Roll, please.
Beal?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Thielmeyer?
Aye.
Moving on then, we will, I guess in this particular case, remove from the table, since last month we tabled the actions of CUP 08-07 on the E-Free Church of Ames. We did not, however, go through, and I kind of led that way because I thought that's where we might end, any of those. We really have to take this from the point at which we started, because we didn't do the findings of fact, we didn't do all of those things. So. We'll remove it from the table, but just with the understanding that that's where we have to turn around and start. We had gone into deliberations, but because there are changes, I guess in at least a limited manner, I'd like to follow the normal procedures so that staff can present their new findings of facts that have been added and revised, and we'll go from there. We will also ask for comments from both the applicant. We will allow for comments from the public. So I think that seems to be the prudent way to go through this. Any concerns with that at this point? Okay. So we're removed from the table, and we'll start with staff then.
I did include the entire presentation on here that I did give last month. I don't plan on going over that again. Ms. Thielmeyer, I don't know if you need a review of it at all. Hopefully you've read everything, so I won't go through all that. But we'll note, first of all, in the memo that we provided, and you'll see on your draft decision and order, we did add a finding of fact number 9, and I will read that. Kind of sums up why we're here, and that reads that the Story County Board of Adjustment met on April 3rd of 2013 and reviewed the conditional use permit modification for the AMZ Free Church to approve the second of three phase plans and to modify the master plan that was submitted back in 2007. The Board of Adjustment did vote to table the request and requested the applicant submit more information regarding the transition development criteria. More particularly, the Board did ask for more information regarding the trees shown along the boundary of the property to the southwest of the site, also known as the Solomon property, on the master plan, which was approved as part of the original conditional use permit that was issued by the Board of Adjustment on January 2nd of 2008. That particular master plan did show eight trees planted on about the southern half of the east side of that Solomon property, but they did not specify the type of tree to be planted. With that, we have received an updated site plan. I did include that in this presentation, so let me skip through this real quick and get to that. There we go. So the updated site plan does now include additional trees planted along the Stallman property line there. You can see those trees, they are proposed to be 25 American arborvitae. I think I'm saying that right. I'm not 100% sure, but anyways, it's on there. There are 25 trees that are proposed to be planted along the east side of the Stallman property. Those trees are proposed to be planted 15 feet off the fence line of the Stallman property and will be planted 20 feet on center. We planted at 20 feet on center separation. There is one exception to that separation distance. You can see right in there, that's where that spillway from the detention basin will take place. And instead of a 20-foot separation, they are proposing a 30-foot separation on that particular one. According to the Arbor Day Foundation, those trees that are proposed, they will grow to be 40 to 60 feet in height, and they will have a mature spread of 10 to 15 feet. They do show a growth rate of 12 to 24 inches, 1 to 2 feet per year on those. So those are the trees that they have added to the master plan to hopefully meet that transition criteria that the board did seek out. Furthermore, the memo did mention that Ms. Stallman did send us a follow-up email after the meeting last month on April 3rd, did request two additional items that we looked at, one being the lighting plan on the property, and the second to seek out a little bit more information on that driveway that was to be added from Cameron School Road. I'll first of all get into the lighting. The plan here, again, that the applicant has submitted to us does show the lighting plan. It doesn't show roads on there, but this would be Cameron School Road right here, and this would be George Washington Carver right there. The yellow areas right here are the areas that actually show where the lights are going to be. I did have to highlight those to really show them in this presentation, but those do show where the proposed lights are going to be. You have five lights here along that driveway entrance off Cameron School Road, five within this parking lot area right here, three within this area, and then five around the building, mainly at the entrance points to the building. Again, there's going to be five single lights placed along the drive between Cameron School Road and that west parking lot. There'll be five back-to-back mounted lights placed within the west parking lot. There'll be three single lights placed in that new eastern parking lot, the one closer to GW Carver, and five single lights placed on the actual Phase 2 building. The lights are proposed to be full cutoff lighting, and as far as lumen ratings, the lumen ratings for the parking lot lighting along the parking lot area will be 19,100, and the ones on the building will be 12,600, and we did note that that is comparable to the existing lighting that was on the site and approved with the Phase 1 plans. Furthermore, regarding the Cameron School driveway that Ms. Stallman did ask for more information about, I did send that request off to our county engineer, Darren Moon. He did respond. His response did state that I have worked with the design consultant to look at the best options for access points if the development moves forward. Mr. Moon does believe that the access point off of Cameron School Road is necessary to split up some of the traffic and access off of Cameron School Road. He believes the access point off of Cameron School Road is necessary to split up some of the traffic, and the access off Cameron School Road is near a stop traffic condition, so traffic will be moving slower at that point than on GW Carver. Mr. Moon does require that the new access be at least 300 feet from the intersection of GW Carver and Cameron School Road, so that the traffic will flow better and sight distance will be greater. The access will also encourage traffic to not park on the shoulder of the roadway of Cameron School Road. And he did note that the county has established a no parking zone on Cameron School Road. So I think that the transition area that the board is really looking for, and I think it was mainly on those tree factors along that property line, that has been addressed. And then the additional questions that Ms. Stallman asked, we did try to get that information as well. The one thing I will note here on the master plan in talking to the applicant, you'll see that on this portion of the property line right here, that northern portion of the Solomon property, they did not include any trees at this time, but they have indicated to us that when phase three comes in and they do develop that area, they'll obviously be showing the trees at that time. I guess that's all we have from staff standpoint. I don't know if the board has any additional questions from us, but obviously the people that were here last month are here again, and if there's any questions from them, or me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Just one quick question for you, Charlie. This is listed as being 15 feet off the Strautman fence line?
Yep.
Okay, how does this interact or not interact with the wooden fences there?
Well, in looking at them, what was the spread on the trees themselves are 10 to 15 feet. So knowing that, I mean, and that's, again, the entire
width of the tree. I guess my question is that fence remaining?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't know about the demand.
Yeah, and that might be a question for the applicant. I would see no reason to remove that fence, so I would believe it's going to stay there, but unless I'm wrong.
Sorry if you said this already, but timing of the plantings is...
I'm not 100% sure on that. That wasn't included in the material, but I would imagine it would be done with the phase two itself as it's part of the construction plan. So, and, you know, the one thing I would note on that, too, as far as any zoning permits that issued, you know, we can put conditions and stuff like that, but that's something that we would definitely monitor.
I assume in the interim, other than Ms. Strautman, you've not received any other additional comments from the public?
Nope.
Then we'll hear from the applicant at this point in time.
Brad Heaps with Integrity Construction. We can maybe open it up to questions, but just to clarify the question you just were asking, the wood fence remains and the new trees are 15 feet away from the wood fence.
From the wood fence, not from the Strautman fence. That's what.
There's still a generous spacing between the wood fence and the property line.
But as we go through these criteria and we throw a condition on that says from the Strautman fence, and somebody comes back later and says, oh, that wasn't from the Strautman fence, that was from the, that's where it makes
sense. Just to clarify, the trees are shown 15 feet off east of the wood
fence. Off the wood fence. Gotcha. Thank you. Good clarification.
I'm not sure what more to add. Eric with Fox Engineering is here, and Terry and Kevin are here with
timing.
The time is part of the construction project. Yeah, we're ready to start the project directly, and obviously the trees will be installed as part of the construction activity when the detention cell is constructed.
That's great because I don't know that the master plan had the trigger mechanism for when these things need to be done. So I'm glad to hear that.
But it's safe to say that your intent at this point in time, I mean, Mother Nature does things to us, is to plant them during this growing season?
Within the current year. I mean, the construction will start this June, and our completion date is August of 2014. If it makes sense to plant them this fall or next spring or, you know, next August, within the next year. I'm sure it'll be done with the other landscaping aspects of the project.
Okay. Thank you very much. We would now ask for comments from the public.
Kathy Stolman, 3309 Cameron School Road. This thing with the trees is great, but as you say about the timing, if that soccer field goes in at the same time and these trees grow 1 to 2 feet per year, then I'm estimating it would be 5 years before they would be an effective barrier as far as noise from the soccer field, and that is like really one of the main points. And obviously it would also be a barrier to the light infiltration from the driveway and from the property. So, you know, I'm not trying to be just a pain in the butt and hold these guys up. So I would be willing to settle for this if they could come back and say, okay, we're not going to have the soccer field there until the trees are tall enough to be a barrier for noise. Because as I'm reading the development standards that section on compatibility that the proposed buildings or use shall be arranged and operated so not to interfere with the development and use of adjacent property in accordance with applicable district regulations, not obnoxious or offensive in nature, which the noise from the soccer fields has definitely been, even when they were further away from me than they will be now. Also, in environmental protection, the development shall not generate excessive noise and also shall not diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding properties, burden of persuasion being on the applicant. And from what I've been reading, the common law of nuisance forbids individuals from using their property in a way that causes harm to others. A private nuisance refers to an activity that interferes with an individual's reasonable use or enjoyment of his or her property. And that's what the problem with this is that the noise from the soccer and football fields, even when they're, at the moment, they're clear over on the Carver roadside, and the noise is for 6 or 8 weeks or however long they use that facility is totally unbearable. It makes it so I can't enjoy my property. So I would ask, you know, these people have 75 acres that, you know, a lot of it they're renting the cropland at the moment. I would suggest, you know, maybe they could put in a football facility facing Carver Road where the country club is, where no one lives. There's also a driveway on the back on the north side of the property, which across the road from that is the vineyard and the hayfield. You know, wouldn't bother anybody with the noise until those trees grow up. As I say, I'm not trying to be a pain. I just want to be able to enjoy my property.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
it.
Any last statements that anybody from the applicant would like to state?
I guess the only thing I think I can add is we're doing our best to be good neighbors, and Fox Engineering has shown a design for us that I think exceeds the master plan in terms of trees and plantings, and it's our goal to meet the spirit of the transitional aspect of the two properties. So I don't think our current design is significantly different. In fact, I think it's a little bit enhanced in terms of trees from what the master plan showed.
Thank you. At this point in time, then, we will close for purposes of deliberation. I think each of you has in front of you the draft of the process as we go through. The first part of the process is to adopt the findings of facts, which would be the same findings of facts that were read last week with the addition, with the addition of item number 9 that Charlie went through with us.
I move that we adopt the finding of facts in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment as of May 1st, 2013.
Second. Okay, we've got a motion and a second to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment as of May 1st. Roll, please.
Sir?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Steelmeyer?
Okay, the next items that we have, we've been here before on conditional use permits, we have to consider the development criteria that is there, and according to the development criteria, we have to determine whether we have any issues with either compatibility, with transition, with traffic, with parking and loading, with signs and lighting, or environmental protection, given the information that's been presented to us by the staff, by the applicant, and certainly by the public. Are there items of concern that we need to discuss I know the last time we kind of left it down to two items is where I remember being left off, which I think people have attempted to address, and one was the noise and the other was traffic that were left on the table last time for discussion. Has the board feel that those items have been adequately addressed, or we need to have a conversation about that? Additional concerns?
Well, I guess I do think that I wasn't here the last time, but I do think that it bears paying attention to the fact that this is a request for a minor modification, and by the looks of things, at least in my mind, I think that the comments that you know, sort of the more sensitive areas here as it relates to transition, if anything, with this modification, I think it's more respectful of the adjacent property owners, and so it's hard for me to view this just in isolation. I have to view what we did in the past as well, and the fact that this is a minor modification.
I guess my feeling is that they're trying very hard and they have made some adjustments that probably went further than they really needed to.
I move to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Charlotte?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Fehlmeyer? Miller?
So again, as I think it was pointed out, this is a minor modification. We move on to the order, which would be a motion to approve the modification as proposed by the applicant and presented by the staff. Are there any other additional conditions or other items that would be a concern?
And I will real quick note that the conditions that we kind of discussed last month, I have them on the screen there above, and actually is included in that draft decision and order, so I might want to pay a little close consideration and make sure that that's still the direction that you're looking on heading.
Because, I mean, we have this master plan, this development plan as we go down through that. Does the addition of those trees or the buffering need to be part of the conditions? Being part, since it's been presented by the applicant, I guess I'm trying to figure chicken and egg, what comes first. Since they presented it, if we accept this as a minor, is that an assumed condition?
What we will do when we get the zoning permit in for the development, we will make sure that the plan that you are reviewing matches what they're submitting on the zoning permit, and we won't accept it until that, because we view it as that is your order. You are approving that particular plan, and if anything differs from that, they either come forward with another modification or change the plan back to what the board did approve.
But then I'd ask for a motion.
I move to approve the modification as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP 87.2, as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustment in the staff report prepared and presented to us, finding all applicable standards of approval will continue to be satisfied with conditions.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second to approve the modification as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP 08-07.2, as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments, finding that all applicable standards of approval will continue to be satisfied with the conditions stated.
Steele?
Aye.
Steelmeyer? Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
I would like to add a footnote to this a little bit because as you talk about future phases of the staff and the like, I mean, I think we've heard concerns that are out there, and I believe you've made every effort to try to be responsive. You might consider some additional things in terms of being a good neighbor. I heard comments the last time about loudspeakers and other stuff like that. So as we get into future phases, the question of how is it working is likely to come up. So all I would ask you to do to make things easier for yourself, for the board, and for the neighbors is to turn around and kind of keep that in context. So that's just a public comment by the chair, because these things have a tendency to show up again. But good luck with your project. We appreciate your attempts to address our concerns. Any other comments from the board? Okay. We don't have any other business. Any general comments from the board about business? Staff? You're duly guarding the door this evening, I see. Okay. That's a good thing. Future meetings? I assume they're not going to come to meet next month just because we have tabled some minutes.
Oh, we won't come just for that. Unless you really want to. We don't have anything as of yet, but otherwise it would be June 5th if something were to come in the mail.
Okay.